Welcome to the Perspectives on Healthcare podcast, where members of the medical community from different roles, venues, and locations share their unique perspectives on quality healthcare, its future, and how to improve it. Now, from the Your Keynote Speaker studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here is your host, Rob Oliver.
Thank you, and welcome to another Perspectives on Healthcare podcast. Today's perspective comes from Tim Poor. Tim is located in Florida, where he says it's cold, but I don't necessarily believe him coming from Pittsburgh. Tim is a patient placement specialist. He is with ATP Healthcare, and he is a member of Generation X. Tim, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
No problem. So let's jump right into this and tell me a little bit about yourself and your role in healthcare, please.
Yeah. So, of course, my name is Tim. I'm with I'm the CEO of ATP Healthcare. We are a company that specializes in finding placement options for extremely challenging patients for hospitals. It's not necessarily a company that we chose to open up or start, but we definitely saw that there was a need, unfortunately, and it was something we really much excelled in doing. We started several years ago, prior to COVID, assisting hospitals with some of the more challenging patients, and we've been developing our services since then. So it's been going along for several years now. And I always say it's like, I wish it didn't exist, but we do the best we can with what we got.
Okay. So what you say brings up two questions for me. Okay. When you say that the company finds placement for patients that are difficult to place, can you talk about what you mean by placement? And then can you also talk a little bit about what it means, what makes patients difficult or challenging to find placement for, please?
So hospitals are essentially, they're the factory of modern society. I mean, that's the vast majority of the economy for an area is surrounded around healthcare. And they definitely have systems and forms on how they want things done. And, you know, sometimes patients, you know, in the healthcare system don't quite fit into the holes or things that they have prepared already. And, you know, typically we see these patients with high acuity or criminal status or social issues that are going on with them. If they have a history of behaviors or even developmental disabilities, especially developmental disabilities, you know, the hospital kind of doesn't necessarily have the most amount of time to spend resources devoted to developing what's needed to get those patients into a safe place when they're done with the hospital. So we look for options for a hospital. Sometimes it's skilled nursing, sometimes it's long-term care. Sometimes it's somebody who can, you know, help the hospital. You know, they have a background, they're in a group home or something like that. But we're looking for safe discharge options for the hospital, someplace safe for the patient to put their rest their head at night.
Okay. I'll be totally honest with you. I'm shocked by your answer. Okay. I was expecting you to say that they have, you know, a disease that nobody wants to have in their facility, but you're talking about things that are definitely secondary issues to the presenting healthcare issue that they're having. You're talking about, you know, their personal, whether it's their personal development when it comes to people or, you know, individuals with developmental disabilities, or it comes to, you know, criminal background and so on.
There's also clinical issues too. Patients are on a vent, they're requiring dialysis or extreme bariatric. And I'm talking about anybody over 350 pounds. Right now we're working with a few hospitals on patients who are over 800 pounds. Okay. We're seeing this a lot post COVID. So those are issues too, but the vast majority is pretty much going to be automatic that we're going to get a call if it's one of those other types of issues.
Wow. And okay, so in the world of healthcare, how how much does that, do those secondary issues play into people getting the healthcare that they need?
So it affects roughly on a hospital population anywhere from like, you know, just a couple percentage points, 2 to 3 percentage points we often consider. But when you look at a hospital day to day, that's quite a lot. That builds up over time. And so those costs inevitably ends up onto the burden of the people who live around that hospital, the community that lives around the hospital, be it in the form of taxes or whatever it may be, millage rates, that sort of stuff. So, or even commercial insurance, sometimes hospitals will eventually pass that onto commercial insurance. They don't want to, but that's, you know, they have to keep the lights on and pay for their services.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So I would imagine that what you are doing is you're looking for quality outcomes for the individuals that you're serving, and which leads me to the next question: what does quality healthcare mean to you?
Right. So, quality healthcare is really it has to be something that's fair for everybody, and we're looking for not something that's going to just be a 72-hour visit in the hospital and then they push you out type deal, but something that's going to genuinely set the patient in the right direction to get some momentum and get and keep it going. Hospital, they're an acute area. They're only going to be able to fix minimal amounts of problems at that time. You know, it's, you know, if there's 20 years of issues that are coming into the hospital, they're not going to be able to fix it in those 72 hours. But we're going to assist the hospital in trying to keep that momentum going, finding a good place where that patient can get healthy and keep going with that. So quality health care looks like to us, we want to make sure that we're fair, it's equitable, but the patient has a safe and quality place to rest their head at night.
Okay. So can you give me an example of quality healthcare?
So, one hospital we worked with about a year ago, it was our first time we'd ever worked with this hospital. And not very large, you know, it's a couple hundred bed hospital. They don't have a whole lot of money. Their budget was, we have to look at these things, these profits and stuff like that for hospitals. And they were running about just over a percentage point for, you know, at the end of the day, which is on the very low side for a hospital. It's critically low. I mean, that's all your capital improvements are. So they contacted us about finding placement for these three challenging patients. And these patients had been in the hospital for a combined about 2 years. Mm-hmm. We're in between 18 and 24 months in that range. We were able to find placement for them pretty quickly. Within a day, we had a very large, you know, statewide search for them and stuff like that. The chief financial officer came to me and called us and said, you know, we've spent a lot of time on these patients. Give it a little bit more time. If you can find better buildings, we'll go with that. But we put too much effort into these patients to send them out quickly. We want to make sure we have the best options available. So that's quality healthcare, I would say, because everybody on both sides, well, on all sides, has bought into doing what's right for the patient. That's a relationship that we value a lot. And when we work very hard for that hospital, for a hospital executive on that side, usually we hear the length of stay meetings and stuff like that. We always hear horror stories, whatever. Most of these executives are doing the very best they can with what they got. They see every day what's going on with their hospital. For a CFO for a hospital to just straight out say, hey, it's okay, take your time, find the best places you can. And guess what? We did. We raised the star levels on all three patients. So we had a pair that were going to, at this point, you know, mid-level three-star buildings, which is not bad. And then we had one that was going to a four-star building, which is like, I mean, that I'll take that. for a patient that's been in there for a year, I'll take that.
Right.
You know, so, yeah. And they're doing good, you know. So.
Sure. Okay, so let me, I'm curious about this then, because I'm sure there are people around the country who are like, listen, I know somebody, or I have a family member, someone who may have some of these difficult, you know, circumstances. Mm-hmm. Do you only serve the state of Florida, or do you work nationwide, or what's the scope of the work that you do?
Oh no, we work nationwide. We work with hospitals from coast to coast. We also work with individuals too. We advise the individuals to contact their hospital. Okay. But we are we're extremely reasonable on that side. Most of the patients we're talking about here, unless you're independently wealthy, you know, it's pretty difficult. Healthcare is tough, you know, so it's like, I mean, we put our price at something that's pretty reasonable.
Okay.
And the same for hospitals too, actually. I probably shouldn't say that too loud.
Right. Okay. But this is, to me, I see what you're doing as a service that assists both the hospital, because the hospital is saying, we have these people that are here who would be, who don't need to be here anymore, but we don't want to send them to a place that's just getting them out of here. We want to send them to a place where they are going to be able to continue to get better, to improve, and hopefully be able to get back to what they enjoy doing and to get back to their life. And at the same time, there are people who are in the hospital and are saying, I don't want to be in the hospital anymore. I want to get back to my life. How do I do that? And you're building bridges for both of those, where for the patients, it's a bridge out of the hospital. And for the, mm-hmm. the hospitals, it is a direction that is a continuation of care and not just a discharge. So very, thank you for doing that. What do you wish people understood about your role in healthcare?
That our role in healthcare, it shouldn't exist. It's not a good sign that our company is doing what it's doing. There should be, especially on the post-acute care side, with COVID just showed the issues that was have been going on. Post-acute has been suffering in most states for a very long time. I actually came from a background where I worked with a private equity firm. We used to purchase skilled nursing facilities. I walked away from it. I basically said, we drove off a cliff. You know, and I was like, I don't know what the event is going to be, but we're not recovering from it, whatever it is. Hmm. And, you know, there has to be some major reform in this. You know, a lot of it is coming to, you know, what states pay, you know, for the care of an individual. You know, right now we have a patient who is, you know, not even 30, and they're going to be, we're seeking short-term rehab for them. But the reality of it is very well could easily be long-term care we're looking for this individual. They're, you know, over 700 pounds. You know, they're going to need some rehab, but this is an individual who, you know, stayed sheltered for the past 2 years because they were concerned about getting COVID. And now, you know, they're out and about, and, you know, of course they need rehab now.
Sure.
And our healthcare system just isn't set up for this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the other thing to consider is when you look at the MDS, the minimum data set from CMS, what you're finding is people that are being discharged to nursing facilities are, I think that the statistic is, it is like 89% or something are being discharged for rehab. And yet the discharge rate from nursing facilities is less than 50%, which means that people are going there for rehab, and whatever is happening with their rehab, it's not resulting in them leaving the facility to return to the community. So, I think what you're doing is working to make sure that people get the care that they need in a way that allows them to get back to the community.
Yeah, it's challenging, and there's a lot of individuals returning back to the community is most likely not going to be an option.
Yeah.
And the other thing on the skilled nursing side, and it's going to be beating up on LTACs here for a moment. I have no other way of putting it, but we're basically the only country in the world, as far as I understand, that have these long-term acute care hospitals. And a lot of times they're used by hospitals just to discharge some of these challenging patients, because they don't know what else to do, and they have insurance, so let's go send them over here. And that's, unfortunately, that's a very expensive hotel. I'm not necessarily saying that a patient needs to be in a hotel, but a patient could definitely be most likely into a skilled nursing facility if the skilled nursing facilities in that area kind of stepped up on their game a little bit. We see a lot of skilled nursing facilities that can take, for example, respiratory patients, vent trach patients, vent dialysis, or extreme bariatrics in the Midwest from Texas northward. The reason why we see that is because we don't see that many LTACs in the area. It's just every day for them.
Got it.
Whereas on the coast, where we see a lot more LTACs, we see skilled nursing facilities much more resistant. That's starting to change up in the Northeast because LTACs have become very unpopular in like New Jersey and New York and stuff like that.
Okay. What you have is something that was designed to be a step from one level of care to the next level of care.
Yeah.
becomes a stopping place rather than a stepping.
Exactly. Yep. If they had their original mission of really being that, that step down, it's a different story.
Sure.
Right.
What excites you about the future of healthcare?
So what we've seen probably in the past couple of years is clinicians and specifically physicians being much more vocal and how we do healthcare in this country. They're reporting much more from the front lines. They're taking leadership roles. I think this is something that we really need to see more of. I think there's a lot of money in healthcare, obviously. That's not all a bad thing, because having money helps pay for things.
It is what makes the world go around, right?
Very good at doing that. but also we want to make sure we have our clinicians very much in the forefront leading that discussion on what it is that we need.
Okay.
That's what has me most excited. I really want to see more clinicians, especially the nurses too, speaking up on what it is that's what they really need to take care of their patients.
Got it. Okay, last question. We are almost out of time. What is one thing medical professionals can start doing today to improve the quality of healthcare?
I think communication would probably be the biggest thing that I would probably focus on. Healthcare is always so key with communication. That would be probably the biggest key that I would make sure they understand. Be good listeners. Be good question askers. I vary on that topic a lot, but I would definitely be leaning towards that.
Okay, wonderful. Listen, Tim Poor, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for the work that you do. I appreciate your willingness to share, and I respect your perspective on healthcare.
Thanks for listening to Perspectives on Healthcare. Visit perspectivesonhealthcare.com to learn more about Rob Oliver or to subscribe so you never miss an episode. If this podcast was valuable, we'd appreciate a review on iTunes. Or if you tell a friend or coworker about the show, that would be helpful too. Join us again next time for more Perspectives on Healthcare.